I guess he's just so important now, he just doesn't have time for us little people.
Oh, hey there,
Absolutely.
guys.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, man. Is this meeting's already started without me?
Wow, are
That's
you running on
weird.
island time?
25 minutes.
I
25 minutes.
am impressed and disgusted with myself. 25 minutes late. I got a promotion today.
Wow. How about
Hey.
that? You can't have a
So,
big deal?
no, God, no. I just have, I went from zero people reporting to me to 14.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Nothing could
Well,
possibly go wrong.
I'm thrilled. I mean, I'm absolutely excited about what I'm doing. I just, my calendar is totally fucked.
Yeah, good, good, goodbye doing work for yourself and hello, wrangling cats.
Well, to be honest, I was never really good at the former. doing work for myself. Nah, I'm more of a how can I help you kind of guy. But yeah, so I'm now like in charge of digital communities at Red Hat, which it's a fancy phrase for like we run editorials that connect with specific audiences of contributors. And that means I've got to start wrapping my head around the ones I don't run, like because I've been just on one of them for 2.5 years, and now I need to get how the other ones work and start to play the, shuffleboard of like, how do I resource all four of these and maybe scale up to meet some other goals? And I don't know, man, I'm pretty pumped. I also just got back.
I think this will suit you. I think you'll actually make a really good manager.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I feel like you as a manager would fall naturally into the servant leadership type management way of doing, and I'm always a fan of that. So
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how things go for you.
Well, thank you. I my only other well, I managed a team at Intel, and I felt really good there. We had really no customers, and we were building products in an Eiffel Tower, just on our own. So it was
That's the
pretty
way to do
easy to
it.
succeed. It was completely useless, and that was great. But I got to teach some people dev advocacy and build some stuff, and that was fun. But doing it at a startup was had its highs and its lows, and I'm happy to get a fresh shot at Red Hat, which is just so supportive of managers. There's like actually training and like people to talk to and mentorship for managers instead of
Nice.
just like, hey, if you're good at sysadmin, you should be a manager of sysadmins, which we all know
Yeah.
how great that is as a career
Absolutely.
track. That's how Paul becomes your manager. Is
Yeah,
that what you
no, nobody
want?
wants that. That happened once a
It
long time
did?
ago. Yeah, it didn't go well.
Feel like you'd be fun. That's it's like
it was fun for sure.
it's like having, a parent that's your best friend. That's completely healthy, right?
Yeah,
Something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Something
Oh, so how y'all doing?
We're all here. Finally, took a hot
Finally.
minute. How was your vacation?
It was good. Thank
Yeah.
you. Yeah,
Okay.
I did as close to nothing as one can do while staying conscious. But I was just at a pool and a beach and alternating between them while reading books and drinking cold beverages.
Nice. And
Yeah.
how was the travel side of things? This was your first.
Super fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys planed since this all
Not
started?
yet.
Not yet.
No.
JJ, you have any?
Getting close to doing something soon here.
Yeah.
Because I think we're planning on an August on a family trip. So yes, report, please.
So I've had one friend tell me it was like riding a bike and he was fine with it once he got there. I didn't feel the bike experience myself. I felt like, why are there so many people near me? And then I'm like, okay, well, we all had to get COVID tests, so that's good. So we thought we had to get COVID tests before going out, and you don't. Like, no one checked it anywhere on the way there. So at least we knew we weren't viral.
Right.
on the way back, it was required and actually scheduled by our, like at our hotel. So like a doctor actually came and shoved the little stick up our nose.
Oh, wow.
Like on premises or on premises is popular in the industry. And yeah, just the flight, you know, mask on the full time, which isn't a big deal. I feel like people that complain about that have not done hard things in their life.
Right. I mean, I feel like if you were wearing a full like N95,
yeah, you'd end up terrible.
With like a lot of irritation, like around your ears and everywhere, because they're pretty tight. But like a surgical mask with then maybe like a cloth mask over the top, something like that, probably be fine.
And also, if you're going to be on a plane for a few hours, even if you had to wear N95s, I just think about my close friend who was dealing with COVID viral people at the hospital every day for 12 to 14 hours with a mask crushed against her face so she didn't fucking die. Yeah. And people are going to complain about a couple hours on an airplane. Oh, it irritates my ears. Get over yourself.
I mean, it's all relative.
It is. And I'm relatively feeling spiteful about it. Yeah, I mean, what were you guys up to while I was out?
I mean, nothing that exciting. Well, we ended up with a 4-day weekend because we had like an extra day off for Memorial Day on Friday at Red Hat. And so that was nice. There was rain on and off. It's been raining on and off in Austin for like 2 weeks now. It's weird. I haven't seen it like this before. And we've had some really epic storms. Like last night, I did that whole like lie on the grass and watch the like lightning up in the sky, because it was all the like above the cloud lightning. And so like 20 minutes or so before the rain actually hit, I was just lying on my back on the grass staring up at this crazy light show. And I haven't done that in a long time.
That sounds nice. Beautiful.
Yeah. I went fishing a bunch. I took some friends up to a spot and got them on a bunch of fish. And then I went to a spot on Monday and caught a 6.5-pound bass, which is a hefty little bugger.
Do you name your bass?
No, I just kiss them and send them along their way.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you kiss them.
Yeah.
And JJ, what were you up to?
I was actually in Mexico.
So, you didn't even tell me? You're just down the street?
Well, no, I was in Valle de Moros, which is a border town 20 kilometers in from Brownsville. That's where my in-laws live. So we went down there, spent a little bit of time there. But interesting trivia about the rain that's happening here in Austin right now. We actually have had more rain than Seattle has this year. So,
We're just telling JJ he sounds like a little robotic.
That's not good. But on that note, I actually do need to go. So, I have an engagement to get to. Part of my family is sick. I mean, we were in Mexico, so you know, it's not COVID. It's not COVID. We're all vaccinated, but we picked up something there. So we're all going to the doctor now. But y'all have a good time. And if you are listening, I'll report back on what I cooked while I was in Mexico. I discovered some really interesting barbacoa and El Pastor. I learned how to make some corn tortillas. I kind of spent some time doing some research for what they were doing and the mass production of what they did. So I think I can emulate parts of it. So we'll see how that goes. For next time. But I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Well, mute yourself, but don't hang up. Otherwise, we'll lose recording.
Okay. And it's recording to mine too. So, hey, by the way, I'm going to break the fourth wall again. No, I'm not. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Wow. He ghost broke the fourth wall. That's next level, JJ.
That's classic JJ right there.
As somebody who's 24 minutes late, I think I should shut up.
Right? Yeah. You can definitely shut your goddamn mouth. So you were staying at what? You were in Mexico. What part of Mexico? Obviously, one of the resort towns on the beach.
Yeah, Playa del Carmen.
Nice. Yeah. And were you doing the all inclusive?
Foolishly, yes. And I foolishly. I say foolishly because like there's a general rule that when you see Playa del Carmen or like when you see all inclusive, you know you're gonna get inclusive, but at like a tier below the food you can get for the same price nearby. Mm-hmm. So we ate there a couple times and then realized with just the tips we were adding or like the stuff on top of what was covered, we could just go into town and have a better meal.
It's all inclusive, but there's stuff on top?
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly.
Okay. I mean, maybe I misunderstand what all inclusive means, but...
Maybe I did. Or maybe it's kind of a scam. I don't know. It could be any of the above, but I ate one absolutely delicious meal a couple times. So there was a local place that made pak chuk, which was like their roasted flattened pork belly. Ooh. Or not pork belly. No, it was part of the pork, but it was a leaner cut. I'm blanking on what it was, but pork tenderloin that was hammered out, smoked, crisped up on the grill, and then served with fresh corn tortillas and like usually like a smoky. I had like an ancho chili salsa and like some roasted vegetables. There's always like some really nice black beans, like a black bean soup or black bean topping, and hot damn. That and there's habanero salsa at every meal, and I loved it. I just feel like that. I don't default to Mexican food very often, but any place that has hot sauce on the table at all times, they're officially my people.
Right, I agree. And there's something about habanero based hot sauce. We have that like kind of fruity, but also like that super upfront like hit of spice.
Yeah, it lights a fire under your ass.
Unmistakable.
Absolutely. But you're absolutely right. It's got like a fruity aspect to it too. It's got this tang. It's not just like roast and burn your face off for the hell of it. It's like there's some substance to it while also being, you know, deeply spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good Mexican food my way.
Nice.
How about your way? What were you cooking?
There's this one dish I've made a couple of times now that I've enjoyed, and it's a Spanish dish, the real Spanish, not the Mexican Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically like a fairly simple potato and chickpea soup or garbanzo beans, which I think are chickpeas by another name.
Yeah, yep.
And it's kind of got that. It's some stock, it's a crushed tomato, it's some like the usual like onion, garlic, red pepper, a bunch of paprika, and you sort of cook that in, and then you to thicken it into more of a stew, you toast a couple of slices of bread and you hard fry an egg, and then you crush a bunch of garlic, which you sort of cook while you're cooking the egg, and then you you kind of crush that up into a crumble, and then you mix that through for the last couple of minutes, and it just kind of thickens the soup up to be kind of a bit more stewy, and it's delicious.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that strategy. Well, I feel like there's some thing I enjoy eating that has like day old ciabatta as one of the ingredients. And I'd never thought about like mixing bread in with like a soup based meal. Mm-hmm. It really does just add this texture and depth of flavor that you can only really get from crusty ass bread.
There is a, what's it called? Bread sauce? There is like a pretty common sauce. Yeah, a bread sauce that is basically, I think it's a British thing. And it's like milk, butter, onion and stuff, and then you thicken it with breadcrumbs basically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty swell.
Yeah. Now last time we were chatting, I believe we were talking about fried chicken and you wanting to up your fried chicken game.
Yeah, it sounds legit. Out? Oh my God, that was a minute ago. I cooked 5 pounds of like that, the chicken recipe you guided me through, mm-hmm. the kind of not buttermilk, buttermilk. So with regular milk and some vinegar and some spices that I'm blanking on. But yeah, I made an unbelievable amount of chicken that I double fried and was nice and crispy and really, really delicious. So yeah, you definitely, you dropped some knowledge. Yeah.
Cool. And then what did you sauce it with?
This is like a pre-vacation thought, so give me a second. Gotta right. like go back to the tape drives.
I feel like
back.
You were going to use the Korean book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't. Oh, that is what I ended up doing. Yes. Thank you. I pivoted from the spicy because I had spiced a friend out a little bit too much already mm-hmm. and went to the soy balsamic sauce in there.
Oh, yum.
Which, what? I am this many years old and I found out the joy of balsamic with soy sauce. Holy God, is that a great combo. Mm-hmm. Like, did you know that? I didn't know that. You knew that?
I did know it, yeah.
When did you learn that? Tell me the exact moment.
I couldn't tell you the exact moment. I've known it for long enough, I don't remember the exact moment.
That's not a feature. Try harder. but yeah, it was really good. We were just like dunk in the sauce and we had a bunch of batter left over. Mm-hmm. So I roasted sweet potato and cauliflower and then took it off and we battered it and fried it after.
Yeah.
So we had like this crispy balsamic soy glazed sweet potato and it felt very tempura-y.
Yeah, that would go really well.
Oh, it was like so good.
Sweet potato with balsamic could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And using, instead of cornstarch, I used a sweet potato starch. And it had like way more of a tempura-y flavor than I expected. Mm-hmm. Do you know if sweet potato starch is used in tempura traditionally or what the starch is?
It's usually some kind of starch, but they do, I think tempura is traditionally like a wet batter.
Right, okay.
Often you'll use like seltzer water or soda water, like super cold to make the batter. And that way, in theory, the bubbles from that will help sort of make the batter itself quite fluffy.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did. So it makes sense that it turned out that way. It was really, really tasty. Mm-hmm. And another pro tip, maybe obvious to others, but you know, if you're a put fried things on paper towel strategy, shift to put it on a wire mesh, like mm-hmm. elevated, and that definitely helped it crispen up and just saved a bunch of paper towel. So it's a yeah. win-win.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, well, this is normally when JJ would add an awkward thought.
Right? And this is where we should be talking, getting JJ to talk about Fast and the Furious 9.
Because
they've already broken box office records and they haven't opened in the US yet.
That ruins me. Like, this series, this will break me.
So this weekend, it took $162 million internationally. $135 million of that was from China. So obviously, it released earlier in China, which makes sense because it is usually backed by Chinese backers. You probably don't know that because you're not a huge fan of the series like JJ. But yeah, I think from pretty early on, the major financing were from Chinese backers. And so that would probably explain why it is already out there. And I'm wondering if like Fast and Furious 9 is going to be the movie that gets everyone back to the cinemas after the pandemic. I mean, the pandemic's not over, but you know.
Definitely not for everybody, but I'm getting to the point of acknowledging that it is more over than it isn't for a number of us.
Right.
In the United States primarily. And it's something we're very lucky to have access to. But, you know, gonna stop kind of rejecting that we're not in the same place we were 2 months ago, even. Right. Where, like, it really is moving forward. And if you're not comfortable with that yet, that's totally okay and totally normal. It is very strange. But what's also strange is Fast and the Furious might be the thing that gets us into a movie theater.
Right.
It feels very like Tiger King.
Yeah. You know what?
It's going to be.
That is the perfect end.
Yeah.
Like that's the closing statement of
that's the plot hole we need to finish this. Like it all doesn't need to make sense. We can keep moving forward. Okay. I guess maybe that's it. I think Jeju will have to challenge me to something. And if I lose, I'll go to Fast and the Furious when it comes out.
Fast and the Furious is so good. It ended the pandemic.
What we didn't talk about is how it started it as well.
Well, you know, I don't want to put it out there, but you know, Dominic Toretto, once again, saves the world. And this time, not from terrorists, not from The Rock, but from a global pandemic.
Wait.
Or we literally just gave up and we're all going to die because of it. He's either saved us all or he's killed us all. We don't know which yet.
Wait, The Rock is a bad guy in the series?
Oh, I don't know. He's a guy in the series.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, so not... I think The Rock is a good guy, but they're kind of the bad guys. Like from a, like they're the Vin Diesel's character is like the protagonist, but he's also kind of the outlaw, right?
Mm, sure.
And so he is from like a law enforcement, you know, perspective. He is the bad guy. Right. But from his perspective, The Rock is the bad guy. And of course, it turned out that they got along and they're friends now. And I don't know, whatever.
We're out of our depth.
Right. Yeah. JJ could explain this way better than I am.
Yeah. What I do want you to explain, which you can, is what's going on in the Prometheus ecosystem.
Yeah. So I've been exploring some Prometheus stuff the last couple of days. And last time I did much with Prometheus, you ran Prometheus and you ran Grafana and you walked away and you hoped that it would continue running. Whereas now you've got all this extra stuff. So I've just been setting it up. So I have, there's a Prometheus that's collecting metrics for like the Kubernetes clusters, like core components. And there's a Prometheus that's collecting metrics for like the user-based workloads. And so they're both collecting metrics and they have a kind of ephemeral. There's no long-term physical storage, right? So
right, that's one of the features.
Well, no, that's not one of the features. Like you want long-term storage.
Well, I'm saying one of the features of the, like if we're gonna go push first pull architecture, like the fact that you can run multiple instances of Prometheus and each one won't be its own isolated storage. You have to define storage downstream. So
each one is its storage.
Okay.
So Prometheus is primarily a metric storage engine that has an API for querying it.
Okay.
Right. And you cluster it together and it replicates between multiple ones and stuff like that. So, okay. But this instance, instead of having that storage backed by PVCs, it's just being backed by like ephemeral disk.
Oh, my bad.
So if one of the Prometheus pods gets, you know, has a problem, it basically has to re-replicate the metrics from the other server, from the other pod, versus just connecting back up to the previous PVC and having it already there.
Okay.
And only having to catch up like a little bit. But in this particular scenario, it's not doing the PVC and it's just the ephemeral disk. So then it's using Thanos to basically as like remote storage. So as well as storing it here, it's also pushing it to Thanos. And Thanos is then pushing it to Azure files, so the Azure version of S3.
Gotcha. Right?
And then there's another Thanos service that can then can read the metrics from there. And there's another Thanos service that acts as a proxy, that acts as a, that looks like a Prometheus that sits in front of that. So you effectively have a Prometheus API in front of an object store.
Okay. That's a lot of and stuff. Then,
yeah. And then, so I have these two, the core Kubernetes Prometheus and the user workload Prometheus, both pushing into that. And then I spin up a Grafana instance and tell it to use the Thanos querier, which is then querying to the Thanos blob store driver. And so as far as Grafana is concerned, it's connecting to Prometheus, but it's totally unaware that there's all this other complex stuff happening along the side.
Gotcha. And
that's
how do you feel about that?
I'm still trying to decide. Like, I do like the idea that these metrics are kind of just, there's like a ephemeral set of metrics that you could use for like, hey, what's going on right now? And then you have like a more centralized set of metrics that are going into object store. But you can change the retention rules and stuff as that's happening. So while you might have like a week of retention on your metrics in the Prometheus, like the original Prometheus, you could go to like a year or infinity or whatever, you know. And then I think you can also change, I would imagine anyway, you can change the amount of metrics. So you could probably get it to drop every second metric or something like that. So you're not as detailed. But I'm still trying to figure that side of things out. At the moment, I've kind of just, right before we started this podcast, I sort of just got to the point where the basics of it was working. And then, of course, because it's all just straight HTTP, I'll then at some point need to figure out how to wrap HTTPS in front of it and also authorization in front of it. So it's not just like naked API queries that are either reading or injecting metrics.
Yeah, that's a little in the raw there.
Right.
The whole time we were talking about Thanos, I thought we were talking about Grafana Loki.
Right.
Because just wrong, mischievous person with a lore-ish name. Okay. So this is a highly available Prometheus setup for long-term storage capabilities.
Yeah. So I would say probably Thanos is Loki, but for metrics, because Loki is for logs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so with Loki, you have a local index, which is like a local database of some sort, and then you have the actual logs in object storage.
Yeah.
And right. So it looks at the local index and then it goes and fetches the objects that have the things from the index you're interested in. Which is definitely a change, because I guess before Loki, everyone was using Elastic, right?
And yep,
ignoring all the recent stuff with Elastic, one of the promises that Elastic had was this being able to break the logs out into more meaningful structured logs. Mm-hmm. But then we all just used it as a glorified like multi-system grep,
right?
And Loki kind of just takes you back to that.
Yeah, and removes a pretty heavy tool chain in between. Right. Exactly. That, you know, ES is, I mean, it's magical software if it's what you need, and if it's not what you need, it's like a very clunky tool in like when you're trying to build like a hugely scalable metrics and monitoring framework, where like you have your logging infrastructure and you want structured logs for the long term, and you have mm-hmm. all these different policies and different systems that it's connecting into and queues here and there, thither and thither. And it is I feel like if you want to make some SREs groan, just say like scale Elastic.
Right.
And Loki looks like it solved that pretty solidly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm so out of touch on monitoring and observability stuff. Like, I used to care about it, and then the joy was taken out of it for some reason for a little bit. But now I'm kind of excited again. Like, you're just, you bringing this up in our discussion, I'm like, I kind of want to set up a dashboard for something, no matter whether I need to measure it or not, like just to dick around again. What data are you sending through that framework that you're setting up?
So this is for OpenShift.
Okay.
So OpenShift has, basically the two sets of Prometheus, as I was talking about, is one for the cluster and one for the users. And that helps you with, you know, who has access to what, right?
Right.
So, you know, and in OpenShift, the auth goes through a like an OAuth proxy. And so the bearer tokens that the service accounts have are used to authenticate. And then there are roles to determine whether a person has read access, write access, or whatever to metrics. So it's quite impressive how well integrated it all is, but it's also really difficult to pick it apart to customize it.
Right.
Because the thing I'm solving for is with managed OpenShift, you don't necessarily want to or can mess with the built-in system Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking for ways to get at the metrics and maybe change how long they're being stored for, or change that they are being stored on PVCs or whatever. And right. I sort of went through a bunch of different iterations of how could I make it work. And this is kind of where I'm settling on, is using the Thanos stuff.
Yeah. Well, neat, man. Keep us posted, because there's always more shit to measure.
Right. Well, at some point in the next day or two, it'll end up as a markdown document in GitHub somewhere.
Cool. Just what everyone needs.
Right?
It's on GitHub, so it's basically out there. It's basically open source.
Right? I mean, I'll stick it in Gist, where all good documentation goes to die.
Yes, absolutely. But is surprisingly decent searchability on Google. So you land on a Gist from like 2012.
Right.
That explains how to set up your terminal in the right font or something. You're like, this has lasted. Thank you for your service. Well, I don't know why it went so fast when I show up 2/3 of the way through, but right. We're almost at the top of the hour. So what are you planning to cook?
I've got some chicken thighs, and I'm just trying to determine what I'm going to do. Last night I cooked some like the cross-cut ribs, the flanken style is one of the names for them.
No.
But you know, like the Korean style barbecue.
Yeah.
Sliced across the rib.
Yeah.
And so I made the barbecue sauce from that Korean barbecue book that we both have.
Yes.
And it was pretty good. I got to say that, because it used a lot of raw garlic and raw onion, and that was pretty pronounced. So I ended up cooking the sauce because I wanted to be able to, like, if I use it as a marinade and cook the ribs, they'll be fine. But I also wanted to use it like as a sauce.
Yeah, sure.
So I cooked the sauce down and it became quite good. I added some gochujang, and I added some vinegar, because like marinades usually should have some vinegar in them, and like barbecue sauces should usually have some vinegar in them or something acidic. And that's like an interesting miss, but you know, whatever. I decided to add it, and it was pretty delicious. I marinated the ribs in it like overnight, and then cooked them on the big green egg over charcoal, and they were pretty delicious.
Nice.
Oh, and I made a Japanese style street corn. So you're familiar with like Mexican street corn, of course, right?
Yeah.
So this I used, I cooked the corn on the cob over charcoal while I was cooking the other stuff. I made a kewpie mayo, a yuzu hot sauce, some Togarashi and some the Japanese version of the Sichuan peppercorns, whatever that's called. I can't remember off the top of my head. And made a kind of a sauce for that, and dunked the corn in that. Had a little bit of shredded parmesan in there as well.
Yeah,
delicious.
It sounds awesome, man. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't cooked in a bit, and my fridge is empty. But I'm really looking forward to getting back on it. Just thinking about making some more barbecue sauce, and I might adapt it the way you're saying. I liked how spicy it was.
It wasn't spicy at all.
Oh no, I mean like from the raw garlic. Like I feel like it had a spice to it. That like it had a bite to it that mm-hmm. it worked really well when I grilled the. I'm realizing I didn't eat a lot of it raw. I grilled the fish. So I'm probably going to do another like marinated salmon, mm-hmm. And get that beautiful grill line on it again. And I also mixed a bunch of leek and scallion in and then like roasted that with the sauce and just mm-hmm. reduced down into this really lovely, just topping. So might do like a Korean style feast.
Yeah. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. But I'll mess with it your way. I did use some gochujang with it when I made the spicy tofu recipe mm-hmm. In that book, and that was pretty. Yeah, that's a nice add if you can take the heat.
Nice. So that's the other thing I've been messing around with is making tofu.
Oh, you're making tofu.
Yeah, so I've made it a few times, and I've always actually like started at like grinding the soybeans, making the soy milk, and that's a lot of effort and a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking for some good organic soy milks that don't have a lot of extra stuff and aren't too watered down.
Yeah.
And I found a couple. And so I'm just kind of running through some tofu recipes to figure out what I want. And I think what I want is to do like a silken tofu, which basically it sets almost like a pudding versus being pressed like a cheese.
Yeah.
So soft and firm tofu, you press them. You basically separate them into curds and whey, and then you press the curds to sort of form the solid block. Whereas silken, you're actually setting. And so it's a different coagulant to get that setting the way it is. It is gypsum versus nigari. And so I'm waiting on some gypsum to show up because I've tried a few times with nigari and it just hasn't quite set right, and there's always been some amount of splitting.
Okay.
And so here's my goal is to have like a bowl and to have like a couple of inches of set tofu and then make like mapo tofu and just ladle it on top of that. And so when you eat it, you're basically putting a spoon or whatever, like through taking a scoop of the tofu up and getting the like mapo tofu sauce and stuff on the top.
Wow.
So that's what I'm trying to get to is doing that.
I am excited for you and want to watch you eat food, which I've never said out loud before. I've only thought a few times, but I'm officially saying it. I want to watch you eat that. That sounds delicious.
I'll do a personal one-on-one mukbang for you.
That sounds great. Yeah, luckily I already subscribed to your OnlyFans. So
right.
Good to go. Well, with that thought, we'll be thinking of you, JJ, while we're cooking. And mm-hmm. Thanks for listening, all. Good to hear your voices.
Bye. Now, should we just leave it running so he has to like edit out a bunch of stuff?
Like, or maybe we can fill up his disk drive just with silence, and or we just leave this running and start yelling in our houses.
Yeah. Right. That sounds fine. No, I think he gave me host so I can hit end and we'll all go away. Sucks. All right. Bye.
Bye, dude.